Thank you, Tim. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you. I was telling Tim this morning next door, I think it's been a month and a half since I've been here in one of our church services. And that's a long time. That's a long time away. It's great to be with you. You know, this is a tough transition with the Mitchells leaving and all that's going on there. But I'll say this. The title of the message today is Under a Shade Tree. I'm going to show you a number of pictures that kind of reflect our trip, because I know you want to see the pictures and so forth. But I'm going to focus today more on some of the special people that we met and families, and just the diamonds. And my phone's going off up here, because I've got my phone up here for a reason. Forgive me. Just some of the special people that we met along the way. And when we were at Huntington's Friday night, we were sharing a little bit about without any pictures or anything, and Rick was closing talking about just, you know, as a body of believers, there's a relationship that we have, even if we don't know these people. You know, there's a kinship, and Dee kind of under her breath said it's family, and nobody else heard that. I was seeing her, and we talked a lot about that, Al and I, how we're just family as the body of Christ, whether we know somebody or not. And when you're traveling parts of the world, or even locally here, meet somebody, there's that relationship that we have. And all that to say this with Jeff and Carol, as wonderful as the people were that we met out there in our journey, Jeff and Carol represent that to us right here. Just these diamonds that the Lord has placed on this earth, and Tim mentioned it in praying for them. The rich, and here's the beauty of it. It's the richness of Christ expressed in a life that he has transformed. And that's the great part of all this. You know, we love Jeff and Carol, and I'm not getting weepy. I don't know why. I'm just not weepy right now. It is the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ reflected in a human being, and in a couple, and in a family, and in a body of Christ. And they are that to us. And that's what we celebrate, right? We thank the Lord for them, their family, but we thank the Lord even more for his place in our life that makes them who they are, right? And it's the same for the people that we met along the way. So that's my transition, Jeff and Carol and family. And it seemed very appropriate. I'm going to ask you please to turn to Luke chapter 10, because again, one of the messages I preached when we were away was from Colossians chapter 1 about the centrality and supremacy of Jesus Christ in all areas of life. All things are made by him and for him, including you, right? Including the church. All things, all of creation speaks to his glory and wonder. And that's our focus today as we walk through this. Just the centrality of Jesus Christ and his desire to be in that place in our life. And we saw a lot of examples of this on our way. And this is in chapter 10 in Luke. This is where Jesus sends out, he appoints 70 disciples. He sends them out, and he says this in verse 2. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And so I use this scripture today not to talk about Al and I going out, but to represent and talk about those people that we met along the way, some of which Patty and I knew from 20 years ago, and some of which were new to Al and I. And of course, in this particular chapter, good things happen as those disciples go out and they come back, and there's some great results. And then I'm going to focus on this verse, and this is verse 23. So they've come back and told the Lord what great things happened. In verse 23, it simply says this: "Turning to the disciples, comma, he said privately," he's speaking just to them. I love how certain words just have an emphasis there. "He speaks to them privately, saying, 'Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see.'" And Al and I can speak very strongly about this. We were blessed to see the things and the that we saw. And Al's going to, and I'm going to, Al can chime in at any point that he would like. We're going to kind of run through some pictures here and kind of walk. walk through it, and as we go along, I'm going to emphasize some of the families or the individuals that we met, okay? And please understand the significance of your sending us to be able to enjoy. We benefited from your giving and your prayers, and thank you so much for your prayers because we felt them. And from day one, right out from day one, and I'm not exactly sure what he's told you or what picture you've seen, but from day one we knew the Lord was with us, and that's in large part because of your prayers and being with us. So I'm trying to remember. I had a bunch of pictures. I sent about 30, 35 of them to Tim. We're just going to zip through them. And this is a great shot here just because this was in Mexico. Of course, we were in Mexico, then down to Guatemala, crossed over Guatemala, down to the city, Al shot home, and then I went back across through Honduras and then down back around through Nicaragua. So that was kind of the game plan, and it worked out that way. Maybe not specifically in the way that I thought it would happen, but it ended and it started and finished kind of that route. So this picture here, and I think there's a shot of Chico kind of looking out over this later, and we'll talk about it a little bit. But this just shows you, this is, you know, we're taking a shot there, and it's just range after range after range of mountains. And as Chico would say, people that just have not been reached. And so I'm going to do my best. What do I need to do here, too? It's on the green. There we go. We got it. All right, there's another one. That was just a shot. That was on a mountaintop sunset. I mean, some of the most beautiful vistas that you're going to see. And we had them, so we're grateful for that. This is Martin. Of course, we know Chico. He's been here quite a bit. In fact, Chico just now, as I'm sitting here, sends me a text. Birthday today, so I was trying to impress him with my technology out, because you know that way they're picking on me, him and this guy named Harv, about my lack of technological skill. And so I sent him a happy birthday this morning. He sent me back, he said, "Wow, look at you, big boy steps here." So, and that's just kind of Chico. So anyways, this guy is Martin, and Martin is really Chico's main guy over all of the churches and region that Chico oversees. And I'll just say this, and Elkins, like, Chico is the real deal. Patty and I met him, you know, when we were in language school back in 98, you know, 20 years ago. He was just a kid. He was 19 years old, just come out of Bible school for a year in Brownsville, if you remember all that time, and preparing to go out with Freedom Ministries, David Hogan and that group, and he's been there for 20 years. But this guy, Martin, and again, just for the sake of time, I'm going to be brief because there's a lot of these guys. Martin is since his, you know, as a young man, has been sharing the gospel long before Chico Atchison ever showed up. He was doing these things. And he's kind of the patriarch of that group there. And I could go on, you know, we sat around a table one time eating dinner at this home, which is a story in and of itself. But I just kind of casually asked him, I said, "So what's your story? What's your history?" He began to tell us, and Chico realized what was happening, and I think Chico was intrigued by it, too, and he started to translate a little bit for Al and Harv there. But basically, just this man's life has been a risk for the gospel. Mobs coming after him, you know, wanting to kill him. He's been in jail. He's that guy that we read about in The Voice of the Martyrs and all these kind of things. You know, this is the guy whose life could have easily been taken, and just an awesome guy. And again, these are the gems of the earth that people don't see. And that we saw just a tiny little portion of our globe where these people are. And there's people like that right in here, just like the Mitchells and many of us, many of you. And so he was an awesome guy. And just for the sake of time, again, I'm going to move on here. The first day, we went up. It was a long day, about a four-hour truck ride up to this particular place. We'd just gotten out of Mexico City. 4-hour truck ride up to this place. We had a service. Chico said, this is really my landmark church. You know, they've really taken off and done some things. And Chico's very, as he would say, hands off, letting the church grow and develop as the Lord desires, and they make mistakes. So after the service, I have this picture up here because after the service, the guys got together inside of the house. Now, the service was outside of the house. So they're inside. So there's quite a group of men there, right? And they're just kind of standing around, and I think I mentioned this at the Huntington the other night. This is where they start to talk, and the realities of church life are coming into play with these guys. And this the guy there with the hat on the left, the white hat, he's a guy that goes out a lot. He's on the motorcycle going, reaching different villages. I mean, their own folks, indigenous, going out to their own lands. And there was a little discord there, but you know, about who's supposed to be doing what, this and that. And I thought, just the reality of the church, wherever you are. It's the same here in this church. It's the same in this little fledgling church. It's the same all over the world. But the Lord is in it. And Chico, you know, kind of patiently listened, and then sternly said, let's be careful of pride. Let's be careful of these things. The very same instruction. It was just like a father with his son. And Chico is very much like that, and this particular image kind of represented that. That's the church outside. He showed some slides of this place when he was here in June. Yeah, that's again inside. This, and I'm sorry, my eyes, I've got to get a little closer here. Okay. All right, let's talk about this. This is Chico's, he's on this property. He doesn't actually rent this grass behind him, but he uses it. The guy lets him. And so one day Chico says, hey guys, do you mind? And this guy here is Harv. Harv was from Houston, Texas. Yeah. He met us there. He was with us for the week in Mexico. And Jason, feel free to jump in and chime in on any of this stuff, because you'll recognize some of these things outside of Mexico. Chico says, hey guys, I know you want to go to the church and so forth, but there's just an opportunity on a specific day to be able to get one of our brothers a motorcycle so he can go out. He says it's an all-day thing. It's a four-hour drive to this city where we have to register the bike and get this guy right here, Tomas, a license, which is a little easier there to get than it is here. Just, you know, pay it up. And, I'm going to share this story. Chico said on the way, he said, you know what, now, guys in the truck with us as we're driving to this place. Panuco was the name of the city. And we said, first of all, we said, absolutely. I mean, let's take this day and do this. This is the gospel, right? It's as much the gospel as going to a church and having a service and doing what we do. So, at any rate, we go, and this guy's sitting in the front seat, and Al Harv and I are in the back seat, I think, and we're talking a little bit about him. He doesn't know what we're saying because we're speaking in English. And, Chico says, you know what? Of all the guys that I've worked with in these 20 years, this guy right here, he says, if I could give him my truck, he's earned it. And Chico drives a big old fancy truck, like a lot of those Freedom Ministry guys do. He said, this guy has earned it. And he is very unassuming, just very calm, quiet. But for whatever reason, Chico said, this is the man that is going. And so, on that day, we went 4 hours to the Cabecera or whatever it is, the department head, wherever the DMV was, okay? And he got his license. We bought the motorcycle first. Then we went and got his license. And here, I'm going to tell this funny part of this, because it's just another part of the program. He had to bring, I can remember Chico telling him this the day before, you need to bring some kind of a what? Yeah, proof of address, something like that, okay? A bill or something. And so he brought a bill, but it had his father's name on it and not his. And so the people there said, now, this is a huge thing. We're 4 hours away, and the guy's saying, it's not going to work. And so she goes, are you kidding me? We've been 4 hours. We came here. We want to get this, wrap this up and done. And the guy says, all right, look, if you take this paper, this bill, take it around the corner, there's a lady there, go in that door, give her a little bit, and she'll change the name on the top to his name. Chico, now you can talk whatever you want about the ethics and morality. Chico didn't even think twice about it. They got out, walked down, did what they had to do, came back, had the right bill with the right name on it to the same people, and it was done. So this is when we got back, and I know I'm taking time, but this is when we got back, and this guy, Tomas, is kind of getting it set up, and that's going to be his bike to go. This, I mean, really one of the top three or four moments of the trip, for me anyways, was this day and being with this guy and him trying to, you know, it's a little bigger than his stature is ready for, but, you know, he got out and off he went. Down there, I was telling Gary and Linda after Friday night, you know, he was struggling a little bit, but he got going. I said, well, Chico says, he just got to learn. Open the gate, let him go. So we heard him, and he was shifting going down the road. So I said, well, he's making it. He hasn't crashed. So a gem, a diamond in the earth right there, that man Tomas. Awesome, awesome guy. Okay, let's see. That's just Al. Al having fun. Beto Loco. That was Al's nickname for obvious reasons, right? Al was a little difficult in trying to remember, so I just came up and I said, how about Alberto, we'll shorten it, Apodo Beto, right? Make it easy. So they remember, said Beto Loco, and he embraced it pretty well, I think. Beto Loco. So there, and he's got his Harvard shirt on, representing you well, right? Anyways, again, just the heart of the whole thing. Just family, love, good things. So there's Al. This couple, Moises and Patty and I, you know, where's Patty? There she is right there. Patty and I, this is kind of emotional for me. We were there for 1 month after Bible school 20 years ago, stayed with this family down in southern Chiapas in Tapachula, which is a totally different part of Mexico, way down south. And we did kind of an internship there and then went on to Guatemala. And so when we got done with Chico, I said, let's go all the way down. Let's go halfway down to the bottom of Mexico, and let's try to find this church and see if the guy's there. You know, Patty and I, we were looking. We don't know if he's alive, dead, in the same place, whatever. And I think maybe Al shared this a little bit with you, but it's a miracle we even found the place, first thing. I mean, it's a miracle. It is. Just accept that. And knocking on the gate, and Mano, you know, I'm yelling pastor's name, and isn't he there? His wife is there. They're expanding the church. And he recognized my voice, and he came out and raised. I mean, it was just a miracle. I mean, he could have been pastoring there and just not there that day, right? Who knows? But he was there that day. They were just having a big meal. We sat down together. The wife was there. And, you know, and I showed Patty this. It's just like, and it seems like these folks don't age. I know we do, but they don't. It looks the same. Gem of the earth. This guy right here and his wife. This is a typical place we went. This was in Mexico, Chico, just having a service. And the service, the church, was these two people, this elderly couple. That was it. And they served us a simple meal of coffee and a piece of bread, which Al and I liked. We really enjoyed it. And typical. Okay. That's our family right there. This is in Petatan, where Patty and I lived years ago in Guatemala. Now we're in a different country now. Okay, we're in Guatemala, and they're cooking over a plancha, and those two right there, gems of the earth. That's Guadalupe, and that's Patty's. Yeah, that's just. Now I am getting emotional. Still look the same. Still cooking and serving, still honoring the Lord with her life, and her husband was also named Chico, not to be confused with Mexico Chico. And so Al and I stayed here about 5 days. We planned on a couple days. They asked us to stay on, and we went off to some of the different churches so we could be there on a Sunday and share with their congregation. The church where when we were there, is being constructed. It was torn down, and they're widening and lengthening the church, and so we stayed in the house of them, unlike when we were there. Do you remember her, Chico? Yeah. Or Jason? Yeah. So we lived with them in that house while we were there, which made it much more intimate, and Al really appreciated this because kids run around all the time, and you know, Tim was asking about this, just our perspectives, Al's perspective on what he's seeing, fresh, new, and his background, his life. My perspective or what Patty's would be going back 20 years later and seeing these people and still just as hungry, still just as loving and trying to give us, just outgive us things. I mean, that down here I've got and Al, again, just shut me up and raise your hand if you want to say something. They were giving it, Guadalupe gave us, you know, just for our wives. They were giving us these things, and I don't know. I tell Al, I feel so guilty, so undeserving. And Al's always, when I was at his house the other day, he's reminded me, he says, it has nothing to do with our worthiness. It's just the Lord. It's upside down, his kingdom. It's completely backwards from the world. And we were the recipients of this love from them. And again, every place we went, it was a new highlight reel for them, right? It was like, oh, this got folks in town, and so we were experiencing this over and over and over again. Easy to get used to. That's the church right there. That's looking down from behind the church, Patty, looking down in the construction of the place. And so, Jason, you and I were staying in that, but they tore that down, and now it's just kind of, that's being taken, Jason, about where you were taking the hike up the behind the church that day and came back down. There's kind of the difference of the adobe and the block, a lot more of the block now. When Patty and I were there, it was all the adobe and just the world coming into these places. That was kind of weird for me. Cell phones, don't get me going on that. Okay, Chico kind of snuck in here. I love this picture because he's looking out over the mountains and it represents so much to me. What is he thinking about right there? And what that represents, if it puts you in that place. This is your life. You're looking out over your life, and it doesn't have to be mountains in Mexico. Just could you be just Albion or Orleans County or wherever you live, and just all that this represents, right? His life is invested in this place. Where are we invested? What is the Lord doing with us? What horizon are we looking over as we live our life each and every day? Great picture of that. That was a typical meal. Yummy. They gave us a lot. This is back in Mexico again. That was the first day, climbing up the hill, working our way up. We're back in Guatemala now, sorry. These are all the grandkids running around and just having fun, and Al really appreciated the family life there. In fact, Patty, the girl in the red is Hilo's daughter. That's Deborah. And all these kids ever really, I can go on. This is Chico and Guadalupe, that couple's house outside. The church is meeting outside there. So that's their church service. And did we go down to their house to eat or anything? It seems like we did, Chico and Guadalupe. They're an older couple. Guadalupe, the one, we went down, I think we, yeah. So the church is now meeting outside of there until the building is built. I like this picture. Because, and it's hard for you to see, but it's just very typical of the time. You can see truck tracks. You can see motorcycle tracks. You can see the horseshoes. And probably could see footprints in there, too, as well. Just the nature of the time. You know, this place is kind of out there. And yet, you're getting all of this. That's Chico there. Again, just the beautiful view. Where these people live. This is the bus station, Jason, where, right before I got sick. This was in Huehuetenango. And I love these kind of pictures just because they dial up our old school buses and that's our transport. Yeah. You've been on some of those, haven't you, Mr. Degnan? Yeah. So, fortunately, I didn't get sick on this. Not that. This was in Guatemala School Rotary Project. Did and this was like a PTA meeting and we did a we're building some classrooms there, and so the parents all came together, very appreciative of how we were able to help. This is a typical church up in Guatemala. A lot of the wood planks there made by and cut with chainsaws, just big long chains. I mean, not just the ends, just slopping them all out, the whole thing. Done with a chainsaw. Very typical church there. This is Victoriano's wife, and I like this picture because she's getting dinner ready there, I guess. And she's holding a turkey. You can't see the bottom. Here's the family part of this. We went to Copan. I don't know if you remember Copan. It was just about 15 minutes outside of where Victoriano lives, and this is his wife. Victoriano's been here. And we're walking. They just want to take us out in the morning. We had a service in the evening. I said, anything you want to do? I said, you know what? And I think we did this. If you want to go someplace to eat, we can go get something to eat. You know, give them a chance to live outside of just home. And so we're walking around the square, and then we kind of work our way. We ended up at Pollo Campero, which is the same place I think Jason and I went. They just kind of work their way, and so we go into Pollo Campero about 11 o'clock in the morning. So we're eating, and we're having a nice meal. Al and I really didn't happen very often when we went to a place like that. It was always in somebody's home. And so, so it's Victoriano, her, Al, and I, and Victoriano's sitting next to me, and in the midst of the meal, he kind of leans over, and he's whispering something to me, and I'm not making it out, and I'm not picking it up in the Spanish. Oh, the only word I got was matriz, you know, like the womb. And I thought, what is happening? I said, womb. He goes, she's pregnant. And I thought, now you say, well, okay, what's the huge deal? The huge deal is, who are we to them? And we're sitting there at the table, and we were significant enough to them as the body of Christ to share that information, which had not gotten out yet to anybody. And it just, again, reminded me of the whole family thing, right? Awesome stuff. Now Al is home. I'm here. This Al is home. This is in La Mosquitia. This is Batalla, where I went the other way. I went from La Ceiba out that way to Lázaro. And so this is where I'm picking up the boat to go into the Mosquitia. You take a pickup truck, and this is very typical transportation there. This is at Lázaro. This is kind of a typical housing there. Mosquito netting. And I tell you what, you needed it there because the zancudos, mosquitoes, they were bad along the Caribbean coast. And so I'd wear socks at night, you know, and it's from the top of the sock up, you're getting roasted. But that's the life. This is a school in Bruce Laguna where Patty and I lived. Guy was driving me around, just went out and met with him and just walked in and started talking, having a good time for about 10, 15 minutes, and got in the motorcycle and left. Just fun. This is in a flight. We took a flight over, and the one that I was on this time, Jason, I went from Bruce Laguna to Puerto Lempira, just a little puddle jump, and it was about a 5-seater, and we hit some storms, and I really thought this was the one time on the trip, game over. We're done, because we're flying in, and the lightning's flashing, and there were five of us in there, and they're all quiet, and I'm like, oh, brother, you know, the guy can't see over the instrument panel, the guy that's flying, what's happening here? But anyways, before we hit that storm, you can see, this is the Patuca River and how it winds. It's just the nature of the place that was in there. That's typical housing in the Mosquitia. This is going up the canals. There's a boy with some sugar cane wandering around. Just a different life. That is Diego. Let me tell you about him. Patty remembers him from when we were there. I just got a couple more. We'll be done. This is in Puerto Lempira, where we flew into first. And we stayed with him. Remember, we distilled house and took the bath up next to their bed. It's kind of weird. And so Diego, we're sitting down for a meal at night, and I said, what's your story, Diego? He's from Nicaragua. Why are you in Honduras? And this is only about 40 miles from the Nicaraguan border, the Rio Coco. And he proceeds to tell me, this is 20 years, and Patty and I have known this guy for a long time. He says, well, in the 1980s, you know your American history, there were some Nicaraguan rebels dealing with the Sandinistas and Daniel Ortega. They fled, and it was mostly folks from the Mosquitia. They fled Nicaragua, crossed the river into Honduras just for safety. And then our U.S. military, and I saw some of these runways down there, were there training them to go back and fight against Ortega and the Sandinistas. And Ortega is still there, by the way, 20 years later. And I said, well, what's that have to do with it? He says, well, my mother was worried for my life. He lived in the Mosquitia in Nicaragua. And so he says, I was 12 years old, and my mother sent me across the river. Just go, get out of here. And she stayed. I think he went with an uncle or something. But he basically says, I was orphaned. He says, I got across, and me and any kids my age were enlisted in the military. Enlisted, and so he said, I was 12 years old, firing U.S. guns, and he said, a lot of my friends were killed. And he's telling me this story, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, again, just the mercy of the Lord, and here he is a pastor. Just incredible. You know, the lives of some of these people. Again, diamonds out there. And, you know, I didn't mention this, under the shade tree. The reason I talk about that is because Chico in Mexico says, you know what, he was showing some of the things he was doing in a farm he was working on there, and he says, a lot of the ministry I do happens under that tree right there, under that shade tree. Just meeting and talking to these guys, it reminded me the whole trip, sitting with him at the dinner table, talking about that under the shade tree. At the Pollo Campero here, and that the wife is going to have a baby, they're so excited, under the shade tree. All those kind of things. So, anyways, this is the church, and they've put a roof on, I think, since we were there, Jason. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, hearing music blaring, not blaring, out behind there, back by there. I'm in his house, and it's a speaker. And I'm realizing, it's worship music. At 4 o'clock, it went till 6 o'clock. The sun starts to come up. I get up, and here he and his wife and a bunch of people are walking from this. This is maybe a couple hundred feet from the house, out back behind the house, kind of a savanna area. He's walking back, and he's got a kid carrying a speaker. I said, what were you doing out there? He goes, oh, we do that every morning. It's kind of a prayer worship service from 4 to 6. I said, you mean like on Thursdays? I was there. He said, no, we do it every morning. About 25, 30 people. Just, I don't know. It was challenging to me. And again, Al, forgive me. I'm just, for the sake of time, if there's anything you want to share, just jump in. Okay. This is crossing from Honduras over to Nicaragua. That's the boat we took. And this is a particular area where the Sandinistas and the rebels and everybody was doing all their fighting. Not far from here, there's a dirt runway where the U.S. still comes in and trains some of those Honduran folks. And that was kind of a significant area. And now, from here on, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know Nicaragua. I'm just trying to spit myself out in Managua, but that area. That's a volcano there. That's in Managua. There's a guy there, and I don't know if I have a picture. Is that it? Okay, good. I'm gonna finish with this. There was a guy there from a friend of a friend of a friend of Al's that connected me and said, hey, you get to Managua. Once you get there, and it was a journey. But when I finally got to Managua, the capital, to fly home, a guy met me there. Name was Willie, spoke a little English, and he lived 2 hours outside of Managua, came there for the weekend just to be with me, to take care of me, do whatever I needed, and I needed it at that point, to be honest with you. And so, we're great family, and we're sitting down having some coffee, very typical, you know, having coffee, and I said to him, Willie, what's the story, you know, how did you become a believer, and your wife, and so forth, so here we go. He didn't go out of his way to say this. I just asked him, just casually over coffee. And he starts speaking to me in English so his wife wouldn't hear. And I think just didn't want to drum up stuff in her. He says, now we're in Nicaragua. He says, I'm from Guatemala. He says, I went to the States 20 years ago. I was there 17 years. Got 3 DUIs. I was a cocaine addict. Problem. Deported. Sent home. Send him back to Guatemala. He says, I go to a bar one night. He says, I'm still a bum. I'm a bum. He says, I go to a bar and there's a woman in there. He says, it's my wife. He says, my wife, who's sitting there next to me. She's about 20 years old at the time. And he says, even a bum like me recognized this girl didn't belong here. Why is she? She was an employee of the bar. I'll just say that. And I said, well, why was she there? He says, well, she was from Nicaragua, thought somebody was going to help her get a job in Guatemala, so she was brought with this woman and some others to Guatemala. It was human trafficking. She ends up in a bar selling herself as an employee of the bar. He says, so here, now think about our two worlds on that night. Her life is going to be a disaster. She'll be dead in no time. My life is already a ruin. He says, I go up to her, and he says, I don't know why. I go up to her, and I say, you don't belong here. What are you doing here? And she explained why she was there. He says, he went to the owner of the bar, a woman, and asked how much for her for tonight. This is just the reality of the situation. And she says, so many quetzales. He says, I paid the quetzales, grabbed her, and we left. And we took off. Took off all the way back down to Nicaragua. He says, neither one of us are saved. I don't necessarily want this woman as a wife or girlfriend. He says, you know, I've left a little family up in the States, and that's over. He says, I got to a point where I was being rough with her. A guy came up to me. This is another bum, drunk friend of mine. Tries to punch me, my eye go blind in one eye, and I realize in that moment, my life is a mess. I'm in trouble. He says, I go back in the house, and there's some kind of a religious program on. Somebody preaching the gospel on TV. He says, I got down on my knees in that moment, and I said, Lord, forgive me for my life. Please take my life. He says, the girl kneels down next to me, and we accept the Lord together at the base of that television set. We get married soon after. We have this child, and now he says, I'm pastoring a church. I have 20 drug addicts in my house. It's in my house. He says, it's just because they have nowhere else to be. He said, this morning I had to turn somebody away because they couldn't. I don't have room. He says, I don't know why God would save me. I don't know why. And I thought to myself, we're sitting over coffee, and my jaw is just dropping. It's like, I would have never known if I just hadn't casually asked him, what's your story? And he told me. And I thought about just the mercy and beauty of our King, that he cares about Willie and Celeste and Alejandra in Managua, Nicaragua. And now he's a minister of the gospel. And so many of these people that Al and I met in the course of our trip, Jason met 3 years back. I mean, I could go on and on. Do you remember when Chico was here, the blind boy that played the guitar and so forth? This is the best story of them all. It's worth the 5 minutes. He goes with us to a service, the guy's house. Samuel. We pick him up at his house. We're on our way back with some guys in the truck, and Samuel and the locals are in the back of Chico's truck. Al and I are in the front with her. And our friend Chico says, we're going to pull over here. I want you to go inside and meet Samuel's family. Pull off the side of the road. The locals stay in the back of the truck. Al, Harv, and I get out and go with Chico and Samuel. Chico's leading him through the dirt path back to his house, simple little block house. We get back there, and we see Samuel's mother and a severely handicapped girl. And immediately you realize this couple has had a blind young man and a severely handicapped daughter who was about 16 or so, something like that. And Chico says to the mother, we invited these guys here. We'd like to pray for your daughter. And she knows Chico. The daughter knows, you know, she's making the best noise she can. And we're standing around, and this was the most significant moment of the whole trip for me. We're standing around, and I probably shouldn't have had my eyes open, you know, just observing this. It was just like, here's this humble, just very serene, calm mother praying over her daughter. Now, try to imagine living in poverty in a poor place like that. I don't want to say poverty, but in a poor place without very little. Chico said she had to walk a mile or two to get water every day and leave her blind son and handicapped daughter back, and just all that would entail. And we're praying, and Samuel, the one we should be feeling sorry for, a blind kid, right, is praying over he's got his hand on his sister, just praying fervently for his sister. And the girl, the handicapped daughter in the chair that can't really communicate, is kind of crying out and grabbing onto Chico because you could tell she loved him. And I thought, this was a very holy moment. I don't know if, Al, you can put a better word to it. It was just a unique moment in my life to see it. And here's the thing. The world will never see that. they'll never know it. The world looks at Hollywood stars and wealthy people and athletes and all these things and think, what wonderful people we honor. And I'm thinking, there are no greater people on this earth than what I'm looking at right here in this room. And they could give two licks about what anybody knows, what this mother has gone through in her life. Just calm and quiet. And so, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. So grateful for the opportunity that Al and I had to witness some diamonds on this earth. And we're blessed as a congregation to be able to be part of their lives. And you know, I've been getting messages. I brought my phone up. I was going to play something, but I've been getting messages now because these folks all have cell phones. And so through WhatsApp, I mean, I got something from Chico today. I got something from Bruce Laguna, Honduras. I could play, hey, hermano, ¿cómo estás? You know, saludos a su familia. Vamos, aquí estamos. En el mundo. Just going on. And so my relationship with these folks is changing. It's evolving. And I'm not sure, you know, Jason, you kind of get the, not sure how this is all going to go. You know, getting a text from one of the daughters of a pastor, you know, I don't feel like I can talk to my dad about this. What is, it's like, okay, I don't know how comfortable I am with all of this, but it's a different world, different time, and grateful for it. And I'm grateful for this family, grateful for the family that Al and I were able to meet in a small part of this world. And so, Good stuff. I'm going to ask you to please stand. Al, is there anything you want to chime in? Lord, we're so thankful for your great beauty and mercy towards us, that you would save a wretch like me. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just pray your blessing upon all those folks that Al and I met in our trip. Pray your covering over them, your nurturing, your blessing upon their lives, the struggles that they may face in each and every day that they walk this earth just like us. Same kind of thing, different culture, different language, but the same human element. Just pray your hand upon them, Lord. The relationship that Al and I have developed with them and Jason and others that have been there, just that it would be a reflection of your love and heart for us. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, God. Be the King in our lives, over this globe. You are sovereign over mankind, and you are true to us. We love you, Lord God. I just give you this day. Just look forward to this afternoon with a picnic, our conversation, everything would bring honor to your name. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.